1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And I want to teach you on spirit, soul, and body, and why people are not growing or are growing. Why do people grow or why do they not grow? And why are a lot of people sick? Why are a lot of people sick? And why is the faith teaching wrong? Why is the faith teaching wrong? Not a little bit, but a lot. Why? And why am I right? Why am I right about that? And why are so many people hurting? And why will that movement fall apart? Simply, they're Christians, but they're wrong. So if you're wrong, you're wrong. Sooner or later, you have to pay for it. If you're wrong, you're wrong. So I want to tell you before they fall apart that I told you the truth. Then when it falls apart, you won't be surprised. Because it falls apart all the time. It's just that it keeps going. So people don't know that it's falling apart. But I want to show you clearly, crystal clearly from Scripture, that their way of teaching is absolutely wrong. And to do that, we have to look at spirit, soul, and body. I will show you that faith teaching is actually works teaching. It's not faith at all. I will show you that the faith teachers are actually works. So they actually have a gospel of works rather than faith. And they can never mature anyone. So let's look at the scripture, first of all. Now may the God of peace himself, so this is not you, no work, it's a gift. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, entirely. What does that mean? What is complete? What's entire? What's whole? What does it mean? May he sanctify you, not just a little bit, but all the way. So let's look at that because it has three parts to it. Three parts make it all the way. One part makes it part way, two part makes it more, and three parts makes it all. So let's find out what he's saying here. May the God of peace, so that you have peace, sanctify you wholly or completely or absolutely or entirely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to show you why the faith teaching can't do this. I'm only using them as an illustration. I could use someone else. I'm just going to use it as an illustration to show you what's good about it and what's bad about it. It's not all bad, but it's not all good because it can't do this, and that's what makes it bad. And insofar as it helps you a little bit, it's good, but insofar as it doesn't, then it's bad. And because people are getting hurt, I have to be a teacher and I have to teach more. I think today is their big meeting. I think 2,000 pastors are meeting out at their deal at Eagle Mountain. And so it's a highly select group, but it's not going to work. And I'll show you why. I'm not even interested in them. I just want to illustrate something. I'll show you something for your own sake. But I want to get you free from foolishness. Because many people are foolish in following something that will never work and it cannot work. And I can explain to you why it looks like it works, but it really doesn't. Because the issue is not getting you free from legalism or something. The issue is going all the way. Sanctify you wholly. Something they cannot do. Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Now, they cannot do that, even though they teach all kinds of things. I'll show you what they teach. So, now, may the God of peace himself, God himself, sanctify you completely. What's God's goal? What does God want? According to this scripture, what's God's goal? What's his purpose? That to be just like him. To be every man mature. Every man a baby? That's not the goal. Every man, you know, a Christian? Well, that's not the goal. The goal is every man mature. in Christ. And so Paul is saying, every man should grow. What's he mean? Spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. What if we can only get the spirit? Well, then you can get it all. Yeah, also have to get the soul. And we also have to get the body. In other words, your behavior. In other words, this world. In this world. Not in the world to come. Not in the world to come. Not in the world to come. But in this world, to be perfect, mature, complete, like a man. Forgetting those things that lie behind. Pressing forward to the high, holy mark. To the full stature of Jesus, right? So lots of scriptures. We could come up with every scripture, but they all say the same thing. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So 1, 2, 3. Now, I drew up on the board all the kind of governments there are in the world. Individual governments, the basis. Then there's family government. How many are doing a good job there? I know why. Because you're not mature. And you're married to someone who's not mature. That's the problem right there. If you don't have somebody mature, they're just goofing around. They're just playing at it. It's not going to come out with a good government or a good church or a good family or a good anything. But the problem is the individual. Forget those families and churches and governments. We just don't have any stewards, any laborers, any people to run those things. That's why the government's falling apart. That's why the family is falling apart. That's why the church is worthless. Silly. This is not. We don't have mature individuals. Now, at least the leaders ought to be mature. Let's say the people weren't mature. That's the leader's fault. God has put leaders over everybody, but in order to get those leaders, you have to make them. So the job of me is, first of all, to be made mature. How can I make you mature if I'm not mature? If I'm immature, then you're going to be immature because you're under an immature person. Let's say I was a tyrant, then you'll have to live under my tyranny. Let's say I was a wimp, then you'd have to live under ineptitude. Whatever it is, if the person that God appoints is worthless, you're not going to get much. Now, maybe you'll get the beginning. Even the worst of pastors, I think, sometimes get somebody saved without even trying. Maybe they sing a hymn or something to get saved. Maybe the pastor's theology is awful, but the hymns he sang were pretty good. Thank God that the hymns have kept us over the years when the theology didn't. Because a lot of the hymns are written by believers. You know, they're pretty good. Even if you went to a dead church, dead as a doornail. But the liturgy at least had God in it. Some of the songs had something in it. You could get saved. You could actually start. Now, you couldn't mature. It would be very difficult to mature in a family where the father is a drunk. A pervert. Greedy. A tyrant. It's not impossible, but it's hard. It's harder if he's absent. You know, there's all kinds of things. But if he were a man of God, it would be easier to have the family in order. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of that. But that's the church's job, is to produce those leaders for family, church, and state. Churches fail. Because we don't even have it in the church. So how are we going to get it out there in the family? That's why families are falling apart, because churches have fallen apart. And that's why there's no hope for your nation, your public. So, I lay all the fault at the blame, I lay all the blame at the feet of the pastors. They're the ones that God, you know, the kings, they can only do what kings do. You know, I'm not surprised they're all corrupted and do their own thing and disregard the people. And it doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is, why aren't the pastors saying anything about it? Why don't they raise up some godly men and women who can get in there and make a difference? I find that when Christians go into politics, they're naive. They don't even know what they're talking about. Just because they love Jesus, that's beginning. That doesn't mean anything. You have to be mature. And so most of the people that are leading your government are bribed, corrupted. They're not interested at all in the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution or anything else. They're interested in their own pocketbook. Someone has paid them off. I don't care if you're a senator or House representative. Doesn't matter. You're easily corrupted by money. Because the only way you can become president of the United States is to give in to the money people who put you in office so that they can buy access later and influence. And so you give a big contribution of 5,000, 10,000, 15, 20, 25, 100, a million, you got access, you got influence. That's the way it works. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's wrong, but everybody knows that's what happens. So it doesn't matter if he's the mayor or the justice of the peace or who it is, it's corruptible. And most of them, not the fewest, most of them are corrupted. Most. I would love to say only a handful are corrupt. And let's get rid of the bad guys and throw the bums out. Ain't going to happen. Because all the bums are protecting the other bums. Because they're all paid off by the same people. There's only a handful of people that bribe everybody. If they're a big giver, they don't give just to Republicans or Democrats. They give to everybody. Whoever wins, then they win. So they'll throw away huge sums of money. You know, sums of money. If I was a beer owner, I owned a beer concession here, I would just simply give $10,000 to this candidate and $10,000 to the other candidate. Then I'm going to win. Because I'm going to make millions off of that $10,000 that I put in. But if I have a beer concession and I can't cross a county line, and the sheriff's not going to let me through and he's going to stop me at the border, I got to make sure I own the sheriff. I'm not making it up. I'm just telling you something real, but I just said it as though I was just talking. But that's the way it happens. That's the way our city is run. That's the way everything's run. So the problem is we don't have any leaders because we don't have any Christians that are mature in Christ. So the fault lies with the church, and the church isn't the problem. It's the pastors of the church. So how can the pastors of the church who don't even know what their job is get people mature if they're immature? The laborers are few. The harvest is ripe. So in other words, there are people out there that want to learn, they want to go all the way, but they don't have anybody to lead them or guide them or help them or assist them or teach them the truth. So I'm going to teach you the truth this morning because I'm a pastor. I don't even want to be a pastor. I don't even like my job. But I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Okay? You all know that. I don't like this job. But I believe God told me to do this job. So whether I like it or not, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because he busted me and broke me. Told me, hey, do what I say. Okay. You know, and do what I say with a smile. Okay. You know, and so God actually wants me to do it, and I like doing it, actually. I have nothing better to do anyway, but do whatever he says. He says, go to India, I'll go to India. Don't want to go, but I'm going to go. You understand? I'll just do whatever he says. He says, love your wife, I'm going to love my wife. If he says, love the people, I'm going to love the people. Why? Because he busted me. Once he breaks your pride, breaks your strength. Now, number one up there, believe, makes you a Christian. You're a Christian, but you're not mature. Number one makes you a Christian. You're a believer. But how many know that faith should be active in love? That's number three. So you see, how do I get from one to three? How do you get from one to three? Anybody know how you get from one to three?
I forgot what one was.
How do you get from believing to loving?
Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
That would still be believing. Nope. I could make it right, but no. How do you get, now just don't think for a minute, don't be brilliant, just think simple. How do you get from one to three?
Persecution.
Yes, 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 by maturing. But what's in between one and three? Two! How do you get from one to three? Two! That's the problem in the church today is two. It's not three. We can't get any threes because we don't have any twos. Because nobody wants to leave one. They just want to be a believer where Jesus died for you. Let's leave it at that. I don't want to die. I'm glad he died. Now the faith teaching teaches this. Stay a one. Skip two. Go directly to three. Ain't happening. They can't produce that. They have as many divorces and as many sicknesses and so on as anybody else, even though they teach health and wealth and all kinds of things. They're actually not getting, they only get a handful of people, and when they get those handful, they make them stand up and talk, and everybody thinks, yeah, I didn't get one of those, but that guy did, so this must be working. But two-thirds of the people, three-fourths of the people never get anything. They just go to the meetings, buy all the tapes, constantly go, but that never, nothing ever happens to them. And then they think, well, I don't have enough faith. I guess that person had faith. That person over there, I don't know how they had faith, but somehow they had faith. I've been coming to 10 meetings. They only came to one meeting and got it right away. And so you go home depressed from the faith meeting. But you're encouraged that somebody got it, but it wasn't you. So a lot of people are getting excited to go to the meeting only because they want to get something. But they don't. They just buy another tape and another tape, and they make more offerings, and they make more offerings, and they do more works, and they do more works, and they're trying so hard to get the wealth and the health and the, you know, everything you're supposed to get. But they never make it to three because they won't go through two. As a matter of fact, the whole theology is set up to avoid two.
Jim, you have to say those words or none of this is going to
be
on the tape.
On the tape, number one is believing, faith. Number two is discipline, growing up, fire. Rod, beaten, yes. Suffering. Jesus learned obedience through what he
suffered.
Now, faith teaching is built on the idea Jesus suffered, number one, so you don't have to, number two. Therefore, go directly to three. 1 Peter would go against that because Peter says, let's complete the sufferings. Paul says, let's complete the sufferings. So obviously, the only way to mature is through suffering. He learned obedience. You're going to follow him. No, he suffered so you don't have to. Yeah, that's for your eternal salvation one. But in order to be mature, you must suffer. They never explain that. They just say, well, Jesus suffered so you don't have to. Well, that's just to skip number two. No matter their... That's why a lot of people follow them. They don't want to suffer. Well, that appeals to my flesh. Ha! If I don't have to suffer... Hallelujah. I'll buy one of those. I'll get 10 of them. How many can I have? Because I don't want to go through two. I don't mind Jesus suffering, one. I just don't like the idea of me suffering. But that's the only way you're going to grow up is to go through hell. Trouble. Discipline. The father that loves his son disciplines him, chastens him for his good. That's the part I don't agree with. That's not for my good. Dad, just let me have the car. just give me some freedom. Just, you know, trust me. I'm ready to be a three. How many know that you can go directly from 8 years old to, you know, 23? I mean, skip over those teen years. The pimples, you know, just skip over that stage. Go direct to maturity.
Be 80 and be a three.
Yeah, just because you're older doesn't make you wiser.
No.
It all depends on whether you went through two or not. Two is the discipline. Most Christians do not want to be disciplined, and most pastors can't discipline because they themselves are immature.
Yeah. Right.
So they're not going to say, you know, hey, let's all go through the fire because it'll purify us, because they themselves aren't purified. A lot of pastors have mistresses. I don't have one. I don't have a mistress. I just don't have one. I don't know. Peggy's against it. A lot of pastors have mistresses. Other pastors are, you know, skimming the coffer. They're just taking money and they're greedy. They want big this and big that and big this and big that. They want to be, you know, they don't want to be struggling nothings like me. So they want to be famous and great. Other pastors are big ego guys. They want to be known, you know, and so on. Well, if you want those temptations, it's going to be hard for you to go through number two because you'll lose your life in number two. Remember God said, if you keep your life, you lose it, but if you lose your life, you keep it? Yeah, well, that's a nice theory, but it's really hard to lose yourself because you don't want to. So most pastors haven't lost themselves. They're proud of their office. They're proud of what they're doing. They're getting something out of it. They want the perks. Let's say you had, we don't have enough in this church, but let's say you had 300 members or 500, let's say you had 1,000 members, then you can have a mistress. Now, if you only have 100 members, you can really not have that perk. Because big businessmen get those. Royalty gets those. But little pastors couldn't have it, but if you were a big pastor, you could. So big pastors are more tempted than little pastors. Have you ever noticed that? It's the, you know, First Methodist down here, where the ministers have a tendency to fall into adultery all the time. Pedophiles, adulterers, all kinds of things. And that's where you get all that stuff. It's harder with the little guy because he's sweeping the floor most of the time and doesn't have time for the mistress. He's running off the mimeograph thing because it's a little church, so he is the one that has to, you know, do so much. And then that he wouldn't be wicked. If he was bigger, he could be, but because he's so small, he's just too busy. You all understand?
Yeah.
And so, you know, poor people don't have quite as much fun as rich people because rich people have more money to spend on more debauchery. They can go to Vegas, you know. They can go to the bingo game, you know. They can go down to, you know, Los Angeles, wherever. They can go anywhere they want to. But poorer people have to stay at home and, you know, just go to the local bar. They don't have as much capacity to sin as boldly and as greatly. They have their little bitty funds. They can surf the internet. They can, you know, they have their little ways. But they don't get to do it up big. You can't go to Gaylord. You know, they can't do the really big stuff. Amen? Now, what all I'm talking about is real life. Forget the theories and stuff. In real life, ministers are just as corrupted as the people. That's why the people aren't growing anywhere. The biggest churches are the most corrupt churches. Well, that doesn't mean a little church is any good. But I'm just saying, but the bigger you get, the more temptation there is to have an ego trip. If you have 100 buses in your church, and you know, you're liable to want to say that when you go out somewhere. By the way, we're running, what is it, Ellis? 100, rip on 100. You know, and you want to brag on that, you want to boast on that. And I don't have any buses. I don't want to go to those ministerial meetings because I don't have any buses. You see, all I can share is maybe something that Jesus revealed. And the ministers aren't really caring about that. If you're in a big church, you don't have time to worry about that. Most big church ministers aren't even good preachers. Or maybe they're kind of like showmen. And they just say all the avoid. You know what they're all built on? They're all built on avoid too. If I'm going to have a big church, I could have a big church. It's so easy. All I have to is just go from 1 to 3. Of course, you never get to 3, but it's kind of like a goal. You never actually produce mature ministers. I could name the church. It's so easy for me. I could name a big church in Dallas, biggest charismatic church in Dallas. I could name it. I could tell you the minister. I could tell you his wife. I could say a lot of stuff. Big church, started out beautifully, thousands of members, built a huge edifice, still there. And then the guy, he gets in trouble. And he marries his secretary. His wife lives here in Fort Worth now. Big charismatic church. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. So there you get caught up in the ego trip and you forget the original vision of your church is to reach the world or something scriptural, and yet you forget that. So pretty soon, you're out. That minister is now gone. So now another minister took over. I met the minister the other day and talked to him. We prayed together. I'm little, he's big. But he and I are like that. Why? Because he wants Jesus. He wants his people to be mature. He has a big church, but he didn't care about a big church. All he cares is about getting every man mature in Christ. Ah, that's powerful. That's interesting. So I look for those kind of ministers. It's hard for me to talk to, you know, the big shop ministers because they don't want to talk to me. But I actually could bless them. I could actually help them. But I don't need them to talk to me because I'm doing fine. I don't need anything. I'm totally content, totally happy. Why? Because I went through two. When you go through two, you're dead. That's the thing about two that people don't like, is you're dead. You're a zero. When you go through two, you're humble. You're broken. Because he smashes all your pride, all your ego, all your lust, everything. He just smashes it and destroys it, and then you don't have anything left. You all understand what I'm saying? Now, that's what ministers don't want. You know, after all, they want to serve Jesus and have money.
Yeah.
They want to serve Jesus and have a good marriage. They want to serve Jesus and it's the and. That's what gums you up. When you're in the kingdom of God, all you get is Jesus. You don't get Jesus plus nice church members. Now you can have dead church members. But there's not many that want to go through two. They just want to stay at one, weak, or they want to go on to three and lie about it, wicked. So you have wicked and weak people. Now, I'm still talking about mature in Christ, every man being mature in Christ. Anybody's here this morning, you want to be mature in Christ. That's why you're here. Yes. You're not here just to get saved. You've already been saved. You know, you got what we call regeneration. But the Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say he who begins has ended. It says he who begins, not he who begins, but he who endures to the end. So number two is endurance. Number two would be endurance. I'm going to show you what happens in endurance. I know you can't read this, so I'm going to write it in black. I'm going to write it in black. And I'm going to put down in black only the part that I want to put in black. Now, I'm going to put here, disciple or discipline. Discipline. This is the part people don't want, because here, it isn't Jesus dying on the cross, it's you. It's like you, but it's not you physically, it's you soulishly. Here's your spirit. See, this says spirit, and I got a little arrow to that. Here's your soul, and here's your body. Now, when you got number one, that's just the beginning. Then you got to go through number two and not avoid it. But the faith teaching always avoids it. Here's how you do the faith teaching. Turn belief into work. So I'll make it here. Here's their work. Here's their work. I believe. I'm believing for a healing. I'm believing. They don't say believing. They say believing. I'm believing for this goiter to go away. I'm believing for a healing, for salvation, for wealth. Health, wealth, you know, and so they've got enough faith to get one of those. So that's a work, and you get a wage from God. If you got enough faith, you get healed. If you got enough faith, you get wealth. If you got enough faith, you get salvation. So what their deal is, it's not a gift at all, it's an earn. You got to work. So they're not teaching faith, they're actually teaching work. You say, hey brother, what's wrong? Well, I'm just not getting my healing. Oh, get the guy's tape. Do some work. Get this thing down. If you do enough, if you have enough faith, you can move mountains. Oh God, I've got to get some faith. That's a work. How many know that sounds like work? If I could just go to enough meetings, and if I could just get pumped up, and if you make a contribution, man, you'll get back 100-fold. Oh boy, I'm putting in $100. Now I'll get 100 times 100. Wow. You know, and so those guys are working so that God will pay them a wage. It's not a free gift. There's no faith in it at all. Faith isn't related to work. It's related to a promise. So the faith teaching is actually not the faith teaching. It's actually a work teaching. They don't have any faith at all. Did you hear what I just said? They're believing. They're always telling you. What are you believing for this day? Well, I'm believing for a Cadillac. Wow. What do you got, Volkswagen? Well, if you had enough faith, brother, you'd be driving a Cadillac. And I'm trying to get the faith you have. Now, let's say the guy a year later, he's still got a Volkswagen. He feels like, I guess I don't have faith. He's trying to work it up. It's not a gift of God. It's something he's going to do. He has to earn it. He's going to obligate God to give him something because he did something. I'll tell you something right here. If God's a giver, you're never going to obligate him. If he's like a father of a family just going to give you something, you can't obligate him by doing something. I just drove by my son on the road, and he waved at me, and I waved at him. And I was just, this is what actually happened. I was just there, and I just started laughing. I was thinking, I love my boy, you know, just because he's mine. I just love him. And I just started laughing because I was so happy to have a son. I just laughed right out loud to God. I said, God, I love David. That's my son. I got a son. You know, and I was just delighted just to have a son. I mean, he didn't say anything to me. It's just my boy. I don't know if he's going home to surf the internet or what he's doing. I don't even know what he's doing. But that's my boy, you see. I don't know if he's doing good or bad. I don't know if he's going to work or going home to play. I don't know what he's doing. That's just my boy. I'm just delighted. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I really don't care because he's mine. And I'm just delighted in that. That's the way God is. You don't have to earn this. It's a free gift. So believing is all there is up there. If you actually understood it, if I believe that Jesus died for me, why can't I believe that that same Jesus who died for me and gave me a free gift wouldn't make me work for number two and number three, but would actually take me through the suffering? And what's the good of suffering? I will show you what the good of suffering is and why you have to go through it. Why, you know, every one of you has gone through suffering. There's not a woman in this room who hadn't gone through suffering. And I know Nick and I think, and we've gone through suffering. Everybody's gone through suffering. Why? It's good. Suffering, the fact that Jesus died for you is because you couldn't do that suffering. If you died, it wouldn't count for a hill of beans. But Jesus can't die for your soul. That's you. Soul, self. You got to do that part. He did that part. That's his part. Now, you can't do number one. All you can do is believe that what he did worked. Right? Then he says to you, Jim, let me who just died for you, and you just thank me for that, let me take you through the fire now. Oh, fire? Is there a plan B? Could we avoid the fire? I don't like fire. No. Jim, here's the deal. The reason you say you don't like fire, you're ignorant. You just don't know anything. Fire will destroy your soul, but not your spirit. Oh, it's just my soul. Yeah, I got to purify your soul. Your soul has a little bit of flesh in it, a little bit of spirit in it. I just want to get all the flesh out and get all the spirit going. So what's going to happen here in the discipline is the flesh will die. Flesh, die. Okay? Spirit, live. So here's the only good thing about suffering is spirits don't suffer. Spirit always wins. It always lives. You go through any hell, and you know what will happen when it's all done? You'll be purified. You'll actually be happier by getting holier. You'll be happier by getting holier. You'll be happier by getting holier. In other words, if you keep your sin, you'll neither get happiness nor holiness. The pastor that keeps his sin and his greed and his lust, he isn't happy and he isn't holy. But he wanted happiness, but he lost both. The purpose of fire, the discipline, the rod, the suffering, the purpose of all this fire is to burn off the flesh. Now you remember, when you come into God's house, first thing you see is a little altar. Anybody notice that? When you walk into his house, first thing you get through the door. You go right through the door, and immediately you come in, and the first thing you see is a little altar of sacrifice. It's the first thing you see. Forget everything else. First thing you see, and on that little altar is a lamb substituting for you. Because here's you. Here's me going in. Now I've been saved. So I repented. I got in. Now I'm saved. And the first thing God says is, here's your substitute, Jesus. And that little lamb is burned. So here's the smoke going up. It's going through hell and suffering. That little lamb is, you know, so a little lamb doesn't like it. But something neat happens. The lamb has got a cut in its neck beforehand, and that blood comes out and goes into a cup. So the flesh burns, but the spirit lives on through the blood. How many know there's life in the blood? All the life of that lamb is not in the flesh, it's in the spirit. And all your life now as a believer, Jesus died for you so that you could come in and have a substitute take care of you to divide your flesh from your spirit in the soul. So that it actually isn't, you're actually walking now. You can actually walk here, be a real lover. You can actually be happy. You can actually be happy because you're holy. Because you're holy, you can be happy. Because you're holy, you can be happy. Let's say I decide, no, I want to be happy without being holy. It won't work. It won't work. You can't be smiley face happy unless you're first of all burned up. But what will fire burn? It never burns spirit. Spirit doesn't flood. Spirit doesn't burn. Spirit doesn't hurt. Spirit is eternal, everlasting, in the heavens. Now when Jesus died, you got His Spirit. When He did what He did, you got what He had, which is the Spirit. He baptized you in the Holy Ghost. So when He baptized you, now you can go through the fire. If you go through the fire without the baptism, it won't work. You'll just complain and gripe and suffer. But if you go through with Jesus, and you know that He's with you, you know that you're going to learn obedience through what? You suffer, because the Father that loves the Son chastises Him. What's the difference between chastisement and punishment? Chastisement's because you have the Word of God. Punishment's when you don't have the Word of God. The reason I can go through anything, I don't care what you put on me, I'll go through it and I'll laugh. I'll just laugh right at it. Somebody say, well, you're going to lose your church. Good. Your wife's going to divorce you. Great. It doesn't matter. Nothing scares me. Oh, your children are all going to die. Fine. You're going to die. You're going to suffer all. Good. Why do I do that? Because I don't care about the fire. You know what? I have a good God. So you can say any negative thing you want. I don't believe a word of it. I believe all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So since I believe that, any weapon fashioned against me, I know it can't prevail. So I'm not going to accept any negative report that you give me. So, you know, the IRS is going to audit you. Hallelujah. The India trip's going to go over there. The plane's going to fall into the ocean. Yahoo! Actually, we're not even going to get over the ocean. We're now traveling on that new airplane that goes over the pole. Did you know that? They got these real big airplanes now that fly right over the North Pole. You didn't know that? Huh. Well, that's the way we're going. That's the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So instead of going all the way around Europe and all that kind of stuff, you just go straight over the top. You just go over the top of the globe. Anyway, my point is this. I don't care what negative you give me. God has put before you an open door. You're going to India with an open door, but He's going to close it after you get there. It doesn't bother me. So I'll live in India for the rest of my life. I'll live in an Indian dungeon. I'll drink the water and die. I'll eat the food and get sick. So what? You understand? All those fears that come up, I laugh at them. What I'm trying to tell you is if you've been through the fire and you found out that fire doesn't hurt, not only doesn't it hurt, you always win. Even when you look like you're losing, you're actually winning. Every negative thing that's ever happened to me, it's for my good. All things work together for the good. All things work together for the good. Everything that's ever happened to me, the sins I did, the sins other people did, all the awful things that happened to me, it's all for my good. That's why I rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Why? Well, everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da. Now, I'm not just talking it. I'm walking it. I'm not just saying that. Now, a lot of people won't even say it because they're depressed. You don't see me depressed. Why? Because nothing ever bothers me. Why? Because I'm dead. I'm dead to this world. Why? Because I went through the fire. It burned off all that stuff. All that. Now, if I had pride, then you go through the fire, you get hurt. Oh, ooh. That hurts my pride. If I had lust, I can't lust. If I had greed, you know, whatever. If you're into something, if you're trying to get something, you're unhappy.
What's the difference about not hurting you because you're already dead and it hurting you to kill you so you will be dead? When you said you're already dead, so it doesn't bother you, but what about people who are not dead? So wouldn't that be the purpose of killing them?
Because they're mature. In one case, you're mature. In the other case, you are mature.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, but he did.
So I guess what you're saying, it bothers you. You're experiencing stuff. I mean, saying it doesn't bother you doesn't mean emotionally it's not bothering you. Because that's killing your flesh.
Yeah, well, kind of. But the truth is, that's what I do every morning in prayer. Every morning in prayer, I get my sins out, get them confessed, get them forgiven, get them moved on. I'm not wasting my time getting bothered. Peggy's bothered that I'm not bothered, but I'm not bothered. I don't even care if I have my sin all day long and I don't even take care of it. I'm not bothered by that. I'm not working at anything. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm not working. I'm resting.
The truth is, you know the Father.
I do. You know, that's it, Judy. Yeah. Because I know the Father loves me, I don't even have to sweat anymore. I don't even have to think about it. I don't have to even think that I'm thinking right. I don't really care. Everything's going my way. Y'all have that? The faith teachers have fear. I don't. If you don't get healed in the faith teacher, that's a downer. For me, if I don't get healed, I don't even care. That'll work together for my good too. Did you see? I got more faith than they have. They don't even have any faith. I have all the faith. They have works. Now works is up and down. But I don't have any works. I don't even believe in works. Thank God that Jesus died for me, because I'm not a good worker. You see what I'm saying? I'm so glad it's a free gift. The wages of sin is death. He took it. But the free gift of God, it's free, is life, eternal life in Christ Jesus. I'm taking that. Now, that same God that gave me that, he's going to give me another gift. Jim, let's go and get your soul now purified, just like we got your spirit. Okay. Because the same God that did it is going to, the same God's going to take me through, and he's going to be with my hand. He's going to be right there. I'll never leave you forsaken. He's going right through the fire with me. And so it's going to work out great. And when my flesh starts burning, it stinks. Oh, what's that smell? That's your flesh. My flesh? And so what? Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's it, Jim. Just keep praising me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, and when I'm going through the fire, of course it burns my flesh, but it doesn't bother me. I've learned, just trust Him. I've learned that when I go through the fire, I come out better on the other end because I'm purified and I'm happier. All the weight is gone from me. You know, I was worried about my house and it all burned down. Now I don't have to worry about my house. Worried about pleasing my wife. Now she's divorced me, so I don't have to worry about pleasing her. You see what I'm saying? Whatever you lose, you didn't lose anything. Because all you do is run to Jesus and go, Jesus, I'm losing everything. And He goes, you haven't lost anything because you got me. I'm on your side. I've always been on your side. You didn't have to try to get on my side. I'm on your side before you're on my side. Somebody had their hand raised. Nick.
Isn't it true, though, Jim, that works are important once you're in number three? Because that's what you're doing right now, and that's what God expects of all of us.
Okay, I'm going to correct it. I'm going to agree with you, and I'm going to disagree. I'm going to agree with you that works prior to number two would be you, and they don't help. They're just filthy rags. But works after being purified are really not works. You know why? Because He just burned your flesh up. So what work could you do? It's just Christ in you doing it. So you don't even get any credit for that. And yes, I know the work came out, and Jesus now loves Peggy through me and loves you through me and so on. But you know what? I don't even do any... All I know is I went through the fire and something got burned up, so I don't even know what I know anymore. I'm loving people accidentally. I didn't even mean it. Oh, you know, if I'd have known better, I would have tried to, you know, get a little bit of something. But I'm so burned up that I don't even notice. I'm just too happy all the time. So I start loving and I don't even know I am. Because of what He did. You see, beholding Him, we are changed. So as I'm going through the furnace, when I come out on the other side, I'm not there. I just got burned.
And you know it.
And you know it. And you know I am lighter. You just feel lighter and younger. You're not worried. You're not anxious. You're not nervous. You're not trying to have faith teaching, have faith for this and that and so on. You're not doing anything. Everything's going your way. Not only am I stronger than any faith teacher, all of them put together. They're wrong, but I'm stronger than they are. Why? Because I can go through it. They want to go around it. I can go right through it. And I win going through it. Now, for babies, they want to stay in the boat and not go anywhere. But for me, I just get out and walk on the water. So I flop in the water. Jesus will pick me up. What a fun thing. Go out, flop in the water. You know. But He's always right there. Oh, you have little faith, you know. Okay, that's me. Big deal. So I'm getting it all knocked out of me. That's how you learn. You learn by mistakes. I make more mistakes than anybody. Except Dean. I am second to Dean, though. I am second to Dean. I'm second to Dean. And Dean, I don't know if you're as good as Leslie Ann. She makes a lot more mistakes. She's gotten mad at me sometimes. I know she has. No, don't worry about it. What are mistakes? Nothing. Just give them to Jesus. Let Him burn them up. I'm not putting myself in the fire. He's just taking me through and saying, Jim, hang on. We're going through. I'll be with you. Don't worry. I'll never leave you or forsake you. You don't have to worry. Whatever it is, it won't even hurt you. It'll actually work out for your good. Wow. So all the garden that dies and turns into compost becomes dung for my next garden. Nothing is wasted. Right? So what? Everything fails. So the whole crop dies. Turned into green manure. That's good. Everything in nature is renewable. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's only man's stuff that's not. Our stuff all is entropic. It all goes downhill. But everything in nature is renewable. God set it up so that it just keeps renewing itself. I mean, it's amazing how long the thing ticks. It's still going. Have you noticed that? The clouds are still up there. Rain still comes. Sun's still out. And God told us. He already said, I'll never flood the world again. He already told us that wouldn't happen. Don't worry about it. The only thing that's going to happen now is it's all going to burn up. It's the only thing you have to worry about. It's all going to burn up. But you know what? It won't burn us. You know why? Because we're pure spirit. We're being pure spirited. And the more, you see, if you have a lot of spirit in you, then you don't have any fear in that regard. But if you have a little bit of spirit, then you have a lot of fear. So, more spirit, less fear. More fear, less spirit. So, I just got to get that fear burned up. Because the spirit, I tell you, the spirit's not scared. That's why I can worship God and praise Him. So when I'm going through the fire up there, I'm not just going through like enduring. Oh my God. You know, like I did before. I went, that's really the flesh. Did you notice that? This is the flesh.
Okay. All right, Jesus. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you.
That's not, how many know that's not faith? That is just gritting your teeth and, you know, bearing through.
Okay, is this over yet? Oh my God, is this over yet? Oh Jesus.
You know, no. That is no way to go through. When you go through, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what happens. When Jesus was on the cross, what did He say? He didn't even say, God, get me out of here. He said he cared for you. He loved you. Number three. He loved you because He said, Father, don't hold this against them. They don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them. Isn't that amazing? How could you go through and not care about yourself when you're the one dying? But He was concerned about the people, not Himself. He was even talking about the Jewish people that were killing Him. Father, forgive them. He wasn't saying, forgive my disciples. He was saying, forgive the people that are killing me. Because they're so blind, they're trying to avoid suffering, not realizing I'm the key to their happiness. They're looking for happiness apart from me. Ha! I'm the key. I found it. I got that pearl of great price, sold everything, and I found out it works, not just in theory, but in fact. Do you have that joy of the Lord?
Yes.
The joy of the Lord. You can have it all the time. You can have it at night. You can have it in the morning. You can have it in the afternoon. You can have it for supper. You can have joy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. So all the time. Now, the thing that everyone's worried about is, yeah, but what about when the trouble comes? What about it? What can the trouble do? It can only perfect you. The only thing it can kill is your flesh. The only thing it can do is release your spirit. So it kills your flesh, releases your spirit. Perfect. That's why you can hallelujah your way all the way. That's why Highway 101. That's why you can praise God at all times. That's why you don't work on your marriage. I never worked on my marriage. I've never, ever, ever, ever worked on my marriage. I don't work on my church. I don't work on anything. I don't work. I got a great job. Jesus does it all. To God be the glory. Isn't that amazing? And you know what He does when He gets all the glory? You know what He does with it? I didn't do anything. He did everything. You know what He does when He's done? Jim, what'd you do? Nothing. Well, here, take everything I did. He gives me all of His glory. He earned it all, and then He gives it all to me for a free gift. I love it. Did you see what I just said? I didn't even do anything to contribute. Maybe I even dragged my feet along the way and I forgot to praise. Doesn't matter. He's still doing it for my good. Because I believe, as Nick said, God's a loving Father. That's the end of the matter. Or Judy, I don't know who said it. Whoever said it, somebody from that family. Whoever said it, it, you're right. That's all there is a loving Father. I don't have a bad guy. I don't have a devil for a God. My God loves me. He likes me. But I just want you to know, Christianity is not what people think it is. It's not just getting a one. It's going all the way to three, which is to be a lover led by the Spirit, acting in the Spirit. You know, worshiping God with all your heart, loving the brothers and sisters with all your heart, and testifying to this lost and dying world, even to the point of death and loss and sacrifice. What's the big deal? They're worth it. India is worth it. Do I want to go to India? Absolutely not. But does God want me to? Absolutely. And since I'm a two and knows how to go, I'll go. I mean, I'm not resisting it. I'm just being honest with you. If I'd had my druthers, just like Jesus. Jesus, do you want to drink this cup? No. Well, will you? Sure. Not my will, but thine be done. You see, Jesus didn't want to drink that cup. He didn't want to drink that cup. But Jesus didn't care about Jesus because He trusted His Father and said, Father, if you say drink the cup, I'm drinking it. I trust you. If I go to India, it'll be wonderful. It won't be small. I won't come back and give a little bitty report. Well, sophomore Indian. You know, it's really great. Saw one of those cows. I didn't worship the holy cow. I'm not going to come back with a report like that. I'm going to come back and tell you it was powerful, unbelievable. Eternity happened. You know, it was glorious. Why? Because that's the only kind of report I ever give. I always give a good report. Even when the bad guys win, I give a good report. I like getting hurt. I like it when people do me in. I like it when people rape me, use me, abuse me, hate me, misunderstand me. I love it. Now, can you see that I could have a better time in life than you? Can you see that a lot of you is, oh, I hate it when I'm not understood. I don't. I hate it when people abuse me. I don't. I hate it when when people aren't nice to me. I don't care. I love it when people, compliment me. I don't. I don't care if people compliment me. It doesn't even mean anything to me. That same person will stab you in the back the next minute. That means nothing. When someone compliments you, I know I'm about to be stabbed. Ooh, ha-ha, ooh. You know, I know they're going to get me because they're building me up only to knock me down. You see? So I don't take it seriously. Go for it. If you can get me, then I'm not spirit. If your stab hurts, I'm in the flesh. Stabs only hurt flesh. Isn't that good? A stab doesn't hurt a spirit. Remember when you were little kids? I don't know, I played this game when I was a little kid. Sticks and stones, they break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know, so you have that little thing when you're a kid. And that's what you say when you're, giving a little snotty answer back to somebody. But the truth is, nothing can hurt you because you're spiritual. Did anybody kill Jesus? Did they kill Jesus? Yes, they killed him, but Jesus said this: nobody takes my life, I lay it down. That's why I came. That's why I said, Father, don't take this cup from me. I'm going to drink it. Because that's the purpose I'm here for. The more you're a lover, that means you're willing to be hurt, used, abused, whatever. You've already been through two. You already know it's nothing. Two can only bless me. Two has never hurt anybody. Suffering has never hurt anybody. All the problems in your life, best thing ever happened to you. Now, I want you to say right now, I know you're not going to mean it, but say it. I thank God for all my problems.
I thank God for all my problems.
Because in the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. It isn't the problems that are wonderful. It's that the problems only trouble not your spirit, but your flesh. They only trouble your flesh. But they don't hurt you. You're not flesh. You're spirit. You see? So what's a problem? It's an opportunity for a miracle. Anytime I'm in a problem, I just say, God, I'm in trouble. Good. I'll turn the heat off. Oh, how come? I need to put you in there for a while until I cook you up. Oh, okay. So you're not going to get me out? Not until you're done. Well, how am I doing? Oh, another year or two, you'll be fine. So, Could you turn the heat up a little bit and get this thing over with? Yeah, I can do it 2 minutes. And then you don't have any flesh left, then he takes you out, you're gonna be fine. Where are you, Jim? There's no Jim left, there's only Jesus left. You see that? Only Jesus is left. Because that's the spirit that he gave me, right? But here I am, I still look like Jim. But I'm not. This is a different man. I'm a totally different person. Isn't that funny? I used to be me, but I'm not me anymore. I'm a new me. Remember the old days? Remember me in the old days? Now some people say, oh, I saw you the other day. You look just like your old days. Oh yeah, that happens every once in a while. But isn't it fun? Isn't it fun to look now and say, this used to be me all the time. Now it's only me once a week. Sometimes I act out of character. That is, I act like my old man. Who are you? Jesus Christ, number one, saved you. Now you're saved. You're in his house. But you're not mature. How do you get mature? Not through faith teaching. Not through Andrew Womack's teaching. His teaching won't get the weak and it won't get the wicked. He can't touch anybody's weak. I always see there's one lady sitting in a wheelchair and another lady sitting in a wheelchair. She gets healed, but she doesn't. Well, if the teaching were so good, why didn't this one get it? Because she's weak or she's wicked. Whatever. It doesn't make any difference. But he didn't touch her. Touch this one. This one was ready. This one was not ready. So if the teaching was so good, why don't you get 100%? If faith worked, why didn't Ken's mother get well? Why didn't his father get healed? I don't believe any faith teacher, because I've never seen a faith teacher yet that got everybody well. Catherine Coleman couldn't get everybody well. Nobody's ever gotten anybody well. So what's the teaching? I know some people get it, but some people don't. So obviously that can't be our focus, is just getting people healthy and wealthy and whatnot and avoiding flesh. I mean, you don't even need Jesus for that. Everybody wants wealth and health. And if that's all God is doing is giving you what everybody wants, then that's just flesh. What God wants is not happiness. He wants your holiness. And the fact that you get those other things as side benefits, big deal. Those are not the main point. I could be sick and still go to heaven. I could be poor and still go to heaven.
But if you do get healed, it's not you doing it.
It's not you doing it, but you know, it's not something I'm going to rejoice in. Remember Jesus one time he said to them when they came back, said all the demons are subject to these. Don't rejoice in that. What are you rejoicing in that for? Yeah, that's good. Give praise to God, but move on. Because rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The main thing in Christianity is to grow up, to be like Christ, not to have wealth and health. That's not the goal. The goal is not skip two and go straight to three. You'll never get to three unless you go through two. You cannot mature. Those teachings are not maturing anyone. So you have a big house. Is that heaven? A big house? Everybody I know that has a big house is miserable and corrupt. I mean, I don't know people that are happy just because they have a big house. The more stuff you got, the more worries you have. I know a lot of people that are multi-bokus rich. And you know what? They're not happy. They're full of demons. People are always trying to borrow from them, steal from them. They're always being sued. And, you know, they're losing their wives all the time, getting new ones. And, you know, their girlfriends trade them. And I don't think it's so neat. I'm not having any of those temptations. Just Peggy and I were just flat nothing people. It's not that interesting in my house. Hello. But there's one thing. Jesus. So I think it's neat.
When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, most of the people that were out there teaching us were faith teachers.
Right.
And I picked up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do it yourself.
Yeah.
And I did do it myself until I realized that works wasn't the way to go. Let go of doing it yourself.
Powerful.
And let God do it. And he did. He just took over as I was able to let it go. Powerful. And he took over and did it. He healed.
See, the neat thing about it is the faith teachers taught you that God was good. That was good.
They were
on the right track there. That you shouldn't just be miserable and legalistic and, you know, take second best. So that was good. But they didn't know how to get there. In fact, they never told, Kenneth Hagin never told that he drove a bad car for years, flat tires all over the place. So he never told about that. He just told about, you know, that he believed one man got a good car. But he forgot to tell you all the years and years and years that he was sick. And all the years and years and years that he drove an old junk. And all the years and years and years that none of his prayers were answered. He just didn't tell that part. And they all do that. They start you out in the middle of the lake as though you just got out there magically. You have to row out there. It's hell. And they don't want to tell you that because they think they'll discourage your faith. But that's just man working it. Jesus is not worried about that. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's going to be hell getting out there. I'm going to tell you because it's going to be hell. And then when that happens, you won't worry about it. So you'll be better off than the faith teachers. Because they lie to you, and when it doesn't work, you feel you don't have any faith, so you give up and quit. They're losing more people than they're gaining. And sooner or later, all the people that work out there and so on, who see through all this stuff, they just don't know where to go. They will quit it and leave it because it'll just fall of its own weight. I could tell so many stories right now to illustrate graphically what I'm talking about. In other words, their own family members are divorcing. Their own family members are falling apart. They're always in debt. They always are sick. They just don't tell you that. I know for certain those things are true. But you know what? I'm not against them. I'm only for Jesus. I'm just trying to warn you is don't try to avoid suffering. Go through it. Go through it and laugh. Go through it and rejoice. The troubles that have come to you are not designed by God. The devil designed them. The world designed them. Your own flesh, sin designed them. God didn't design them. He didn't put you in all those troubles. He said in the world, you have them. He didn't say, I gave them to you. The troubles are not from God. But he will find you in the trouble. That's why I rejoice in the trouble. I don't rejoice because of the trouble. I'm rejoicing because Jesus is with me in the trouble. And he's going to turn what the devil meant for evil into good. You see the difference? So my faith is greater than the faith teacher's faith. Why? Because they say if you go through the trouble and you don't get out, you're in trouble. I say, no, you're not. You're never in trouble. You're in God. So I can rejoice when they can't. And I don't care about what they're rejoicing in because it's just temporary anyway. I've been healed many times. And I've been given huge gifts of money and stuff. I've been blessed all over the map. But you know what? I don't rejoice in that. Because you'd think, if you ever got healed, you would never forget it. And that's what happens when you get healed. You think, I'll never forget this. And a few minutes later, you're at a restaurant, you say, please pass the butter, and you forgot it already. You're already, you know, this fish is burnt. You're already forgetting it. You forgot it already. So don't ever think just because God does a miracle, you'll remember it forever. You won't. You have to think about it. Oh, yeah. What? Yeah, that's right. And a new problem will come up, and you'll forget all about all the miracles that you had before. You'll start all over again. I'm just telling you, miracles aren't what you're looking for. It's Jesus. It's not the gift. It's the giver. Get the giver. Don't worry about the gift. I expect gifts. I get gifts all the time. I'm just not going to focus on them. I just expect them. I've never been without them. Everything I do is supernatural. Even going, if I told the story of how I'm going to India and why I'm going, you would see God. I don't want to tell you. Because when I come back, I'll tell you. But I want to tell you. I don't want to tell you how it all happens. But it's all miraculous. None of it's my doing. And you know, the interesting thing is when you work with God, miracles take place all the time. Constantly. Because you're not working. It has to be a miracle because you're not doing anything. I could go... I don't want to tell you. I just want to tell you. God is so powerful. You have to say, God, you tell me what to do. And He doesn't... You cannot grasp for something. If you do, you've got to be burned up. If you're in the flesh, you're going to burn up. I'm offered so many bribes, you know, someone will give you something, and I could avoid all my suffering. I could take so many bribes. I don't want them. That's why I don't move. I don't go anywhere. It's too easy to be bribed. You don't understand. It's too easy to be bribed. Everyone's wanting to be bribed. I don't want to be bribed. Everyone's offering a bribe. Jim, you want to go first class rather than coach? You know, you want to have, you know, a Mercedes-Benz instead of, you know. I don't want it. I want it if Jesus gives it to me. I don't want it if man gives it to me. If Jesus gives it to me, He has to force me. Because I'm content in whatever state I am. Do you understand? I could have a better house. I could have a different neighborhood. I could have a better church. I could have all kinds of things. I don't want them. I want to do what Jesus tells me. Are you content?
Yes.
Otherwise, you'd be complaining all the time. Jesus, that guy got a this, and he got a that. Look how big his thing is, and so on. I don't care about that. I like my dinky, crummy, nasty little thing. That's what I told you. I know you're all offended suddenly when I said I like my ugly wife. Because I don't want her to fix up and be nice, and so on. I just want her to be whatever she wants to be. I'm totally content. In other words, if you're gray, be gray. You got wrinkles, have wrinkles. It doesn't bother me. Now, most men, it does. I know that. I'm sorry?
So pretty.
It doesn't bother. She's pretty. It doesn't bother me. I'm not. I don't care about that. After you mature, you don't see the outward any longer. You start looking at the inward. If you marry someone for outward, you will have a divorce. Marilyn Monroe always married for outward. She got nothing. Anybody that marries for outward is not going to get anything. That lasts for about 10 minutes. An outward marriage where you're pretty, you're worried all the time that your good-looking husband is going to run off with somebody else, your good-looking wife. It's no good. Get into the inward. Our beauty should be inward, right? Our wealth should be inward. An outward house is nothing. An outward, you know, beauty is nothing. I don't want that. Say, go for the substance. Don't go for the surface. Besides, you got something outward, you know what? It'll fade. It'll fade. You know, you can only stay slim so long. Pretty soon you're going to plump out. You can only stay... So, you know, I tell Peg, okay, you know, you can weigh 400 pounds if you want. I don't care. But, you know, I'd prefer it if you didn't. But it's mostly because of your health.
That's right.
I don't really care. I think it's wrong. I think you got sin if you're going to do it. Because God didn't make you to be plump. He didn't make you that way. But I know people do it. So, let's accept people as they really are. Let's not make everybody perfect. Because you're just wasting a lot of energy and time and not meeting Jesus. And you're going to be unhappy until you get slim. So just stay happy all the time. If you're big and fat, say it. I love being big and fat. Here I am. You know, I mean, have a good time. Why worry about it? Well, people don't like me. Well, they didn't like you anyway. Even if they say they like you, they don't like you. They just want to use you. They just want to abuse you. You understand? So you're just fooling yourself. That's all vanity. All I'm trying to say is, when you're a Christian, you should be happy all the time. You should be at peace all the time. Go through the fire, blow it off. Had a lady call me last night. This lady's always fighting with her husband. She always calls up, gives me a bad report. He's not doing this. He's demonic. I'm leaving him. I told him to get out and get his things and get out forever. You know. So she calls me up every time, and I say, well, I think I know what the problem is. What? I think it's you. You're a wicked woman. What? I've been praying and seeking God. Blah, 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 that so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And he's sitting right over here right now on the couch. You want to talk to him? Sure. Hey, praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. No. Said, no, no, curse him out. He's a bad egg, and so on. Said, no, 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 it's your own sin. Last night she called me and she said, you know, I got a good report this time. I said, okay, give me the good report. She said, well, the good report is it wasn't him, it was me. Whoa, say that again. Go over that slowly. She said, he showed me that blah, 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 all this stuff was happening. He then stood his ground, stood against the devil, got a victory, and she immediately became convicted that she was the one tearing him down, undermining him, and not believing in God, and not rejoicing when he was going through all that trouble. And all of a sudden, you know what happened? God restored him. Now, I can turn around the next minute and so on. I don't care about that. I'm just trying to point out something that people don't know anything. When you go through a trouble, stop noticing the trouble and, you know, noting down every little thing. Oh, first it was $100, now it's $57 more, now it's $1,000. You know, don't note all that stuff. Just praise the Lord. Who cares what all the problems are? Why note everything? Oh, and then I saw this. Oh, and then I saw this. Oh, it's even worse than that. You know, you can major on that, but a better way is just, hallelujah, praise the Lord. All things work together for the good of them that Lord Lord. No weapon fashioned against me shall prevail. You know, that's the way I'd go through it. That's the way I do go through it. It works. I'm telling you, it works. And people are resistant. You know why? Because they don't want to go through two. I know. They don't like two. But how are you going to learn to praise God except through two? Anybody can praise God in one. But you know what? You'll never mature that way. And you'll always be living in fear of a two. And two's going to come. The storms will come. The rains will fall. The floods are going to rise. And you're going to find out what kind of house you got. So I don't care that you have a house. It may be built on sand. But if you have a house built on a rock, don't worry about it. The floods can't even touch you. So the same faith that brought me through one is the same faith that will take me through two is the same faith that will get me into three. It's the same thing. So what is our job as a pastor? What is our job as a church? To get every one of you mature. You see, that's a tough job. Because you're going to come... just like every child, they come screaming and kicking and biting to go through these rough years. They don't want to go through. They want to be mature right away. Little kids are okay because they're real little. But as soon as they get a little older, they want to be older. They don't want to just be from, you know, 6 to 11. They want to be up to, you know, 20 or something. You know, little kids want to be big all of a sudden and skip over all those fun, you know, teenage years. Rebellion, the pimples, and the whole thing. Don't skip those. Enjoy those years. Those rebellious years are wonderful. That's when you're growing. That's when it's all happening. So God says this, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Come on, let's go through together. I'm the one that died for you. I'm the one that will take you through the furnace. Come on. Come on the furnace. Israel today is trying to avoid the furnace. Will she? No. Robert can preach all he wants about come back to the land and so on. It's not going to help him. Just going to be slaughtered. Wherever they go, they're going to be slaughtered. Stay in Russia. Come to Israel, not going to help. So I don't care if you bring them to America, bring them to Israel, bring them to anywhere. It's not going to help. God's going to find them out. And you know what he's going to do? Put them all in the furnace. Isn't that great? That's love. To put them through the furnace is love. Because he only saves out of the furnace. You didn't even come into the kingdom without violence. How do you think you became a believer? Because you just decided one day, I think I'll be a believer. No, no, no. You came in because all hell broke loose and nothing was working, so you finally accepted Jesus. It wasn't because you voluntarily said, yeah, I'd like to join up. That seems like a nice thing. Nobody came in that way. If you come in that way, you'll be leaving right away. Because becoming a Christian is worse than being a pagan. It is. It's worse. You think, now that I have faith in God, that's when all hell breaks loose. You get sick and, you know, everything goes against you. And then Christians are hypocrites, and so the whole thing doesn't work. Does anybody notice that? Enjoy yourself. Yeah, don't worry about it. You got God. Once you meet God, it's over. As soon as you meet God, He gets in the boat here at the land, it's over. Now, go through all the hell, go through all the problems, you know, whatever. They can't hurt you. There isn't enough devils in the world that can trouble me. If there was a devil in the world and he could trouble me, how come they haven't so far? If they're so tough, why don't they do anything? I can almost hear you thinking, be careful, Pastor. You know, boo. How tough are they? You know, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? You know, don't worry about it. All things work together for the good. I got promises that are so big that whatever the devil threatens is nothing. Whatever the devil can do for evil, it'll turn out to my good. Remember Joseph? Pit. Then the next thing, prison. No hope. The next thing, king of the world. I'll tell you what, how can it go bad for you? If the worst thing in the world happens to you, the next thing is king of the world. That's amazing to me. How you can go from cross to resurrection king. Death always produces and always precedes resurrection. The more deaths you have, the more resurrections you have. She that hath been forgiven much, loveth much. You understand? It's not she that endures other people's sins. It's she that hath been forgiven much. We're the culprits. That's what we have to go through number two. Jesus died for you not because you were innocent. He died for you because you were guilty. You see that? And then, because you're guilty and He died for you while you were guilty, before you said, I'll try to do better, you know, before all those lies, Jesus just said, it's okay. I died for you because I love you, but you're guilty. Now, let me take you through the fire and burn that stuff off. You know, and He has a little blowtorch thing that you go through. And you come out pure. And you feel a lot lighter when you're all done. Y'all feel lighter? Now that you've messed up, I tell you, you can mess up all you want. God still can get you pure. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of being sick. Anybody here fear? Don't raise your hand. Anybody here fear? You know, I'm afraid. I hope I don't get cancer. Oh, I hope I don't go insane. You will go insane. You will get cancer. If you fear it, the thing you fear will come upon you. I'm going to say that again. The thing you fear will come upon you. My God, I hope that doesn't happen to me. It happened to my grandmother. I think it'll probably happen to me. She had diabetes. I guess I'll get the, you know, if you fear it, it'll come upon you. I don't have that view. I don't care what my people have. I ain't getting it. Because I've got a God. And I don't care if I got it. So what? Who cares? It doesn't scare me. I'm not going to be scared because some doctor says, Jim, you know, your whole system is about to fall apart. Hallelujah! I just don't want to pay the bill, that's all. So, you know, I don't care what I have. I'm not going to fix it. I'll just drop dead one of these days. I'm going to go home, drop dead. I don't care. Because I'm not trying to save my life or preserve it. You see, when you go through the fire, the only thought you have is self-preservation. That's why you don't grow. The only thought you have, when someone's going through hell, the only thought they have is, how long can I take this? I think I've had it. I think it's up to here. It's getting up to here. It's here. And people just feel, I just can't take another day of this. It's not even another hour. You know. And the truth is, your thought's in the wrong place. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Who for the joy, that's three, that was set before Him, that's three, future. He endured, that's two, the cross. Despising the shame. I tell you, when you're going through two, you're shamed. Everybody can see you. Huh, I thought you were a Christian. Look what's happening to you. Huh, I thought you were a Christian. Look at all that's happening to you. Rejoice. Praise God. So what? Who for the joy? I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to be purified by all this. Everything's going to work together for my good. I've had three marriages. That'll work for my good. I've had two abortions. That'll work for my good. I don't care what has happened. It's going to work for my good because I got a good God. He's a forgiving God. He's an enabling God. He can strengthen me. He can lead me. He can change everything. He can do anything He wants to do. And you know what He wants to do? Make me just like Him. You're not after happiness. You're after holiness. Three is happy because two is holy. And number one, you get holiness for free. And that makes you happy. And number two, you got to go through it. And that's the fun thing, because everybody thinks, I can't make it. Oh my God. Could you lessen it a little bit? That's why the faith teaching is so strong. And every other teaching. By the way, I could use any theology I want. Every church in town is built that way. They all want some kind of benefit or some kind of protection or some kind of preservation and so on. They're all just trying to save their own skin. And they're all doing anything to please the people so they can stay in business. I'm not doing anything to please anybody. And I'll never go out of business. I don't care if I look like I'm out of business. I'm still not out of business. Isn't that funny? But one thing, it's hard because this little rundown place, it's okay. It's hard to get any worse than this. So take it away. Burn it down. It'd be good. Praise God. I hate this place always. I never liked this place. Never have. It's always a rundown thing. But God said, this is where I want you. This little cave thing. This is where I want you. Right here. There's no stained glass windows. We don't have a baptismal. There's no cross on the back wall. We don't have a choir. I mean, we don't have anything here. Right? And we've been in business for all these years. We still have gotten nowhere. You know why? Because we're not working on that. We're not doing that. The reason we're here is to get all the sin out of our life. It's not to, you know, it's not to become Christians. Everybody here is a Christian. We're not trying to get any Christians. We don't even want any more Christians. We got plenty right now. We're trying to get the few that we have cleaned up. Get them burned. You see what I'm saying? Till they start rejoicing. I'll tell you, you start rejoicing, you will fill this place. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not helping. I'm not even trying. I'm faithful. I'm telling you the truth, but I'm not making anybody believe it or do it. I'm just talking. There's nothing to it. Now, but I'm so confident that what I'm doing is right that I guarantee you this not only will not fail, this will succeed incredibly. All the other works are going to fall apart. All of them. I'm not just saying that. I know it. I know it. In fact, I think it's going to be now. You know, I don't want to prophesy right now. But I believe it's going to happen now. So why I'm teaching you this is because I think it's about to happen. So that when it does happen, don't worry about it. It's your gain. It'll never be your loss. Everything is a gain. When things aren't true, they're not true, they're not true. When they're true, they're true, they're true. But God always takes something that's precious and puts a wall around it so it's protected only if it's pure. He's not going to put a wall around one. He's not going to put a wall around two. He's going to put a wall around three. You know why he doesn't have a wall today? Because there's no threes. There are very few people that are led of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you know, powerful in the Spirit. Why am I going to India? Well, I believe I'm going to find some threes. I believe I'll find a lot of twos. I believe I'll see some ones, tons of them. But I think I'm going to find some threes. That's where I'm going. I'm just going to go over to India and say I found a couple of threes, and that's all I need to know. God, are you able to do the same thing in America as you can do in India, as you can do in China, as you can do... That's why I go all over the world. I just like to see if there are other brothers and sisters just like me. And I just, hey, hallelujah, see you in heaven. And I don't have to teach them or train them. They're already taught and trained. And we recognize each other in 5 seconds. Hey, you love Jesus, I can tell. Just by looking at you, I can tell. You're in love. You're not afraid of anything. You're not worried about, oh, could America please send me a check? That's what they always do on the field. Do you know that? You know that's why they want you to come? It's always to build their church for them or, you know, make a contribution to come preach in your church so they can steal all your stuff. It's always the case. So I don't want them to come. I always say, they call you. I have calls all the time. Pastor Jim, I just wanted to know I'm in America now. And how are you? Oh, I'm great. And I could be coming your way if you wanted me to. And, no, we're doing fine. But, you know, maybe it need be to, I mean, Brother Jim. And it's like, nah, we got too much troubles already. We don't need to. Just go where God sends you. And why are you here? Why are you spending somebody's $5,000 to get over here? I mean, you know, why don't you keep it? You come over here to beg for $5,000, it costs you $5,000 to get here. Then they tell you the real truth. Well, it's because I got kids all over the place here and so on. You don't want them back home. Well, how are you going to help your homeland? You hear what I'm saying? All they're into is self-preservation.
Yeah.
They're not really believing in God. How come God doesn't help you? Has America got all the money? Don't they know everybody in America is mortgaged? Everything in America is mortgaged. Even Texas. Even here in Fort Worth, there's gas everywhere. But you know what? You're not taking it. It's the city that's taking it. It's certain wealthy individuals that are grabbing, they're sucking it out with these straws that go down and then go under. This whole city is right now being, I mean, it's just going to be vacant underneath this city. Because they're sucking all the gas that belongs to you and they're taking it for their own purposes. So all the wealth that's in this area, you don't get a penny out of it. And your taxes will go up because they're going to make you pay for all that. And it was yours. God gave it to you to make you wealthy. But it's your own fault It's your own fault because you never bothered to find anything out. You didn't decide to grow. If you had matured in Christ, God would give you wisdom of how to take all that. That's all right. Let him collect it. I know one thing. All the wealth of the wicked is laid up for me. It's laid up for the righteous. Did you know that?
Yes.
But you got to be righteous. You just can't be number one righteous. You just can't be number two righteous. You got to be number three righteous. And then all the wealth goes to you. I will give a testimony someday of what's really happening. I can't right now. And I don't want to overwhelm you. You got to grow right now. Get your eyes off of three and get it on two. Please tell us a story. No. 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 I want people to despise and hate and run away from the things of God. You know why? You know why? Because here's what the Bible says. Don't despise the day of small things. But I know everybody does. But the Bible says not to. So I don't. I don't mind that we're small. I like small. Small is good. Small is little Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Now, I'm having fun in little. Everyone else is having fun in big. But when big crumbles and falls, small will get big. Don't worry. My tapes go all over the world. My teachings go everywhere. I'm a prophet everywhere but here. I don't really need anything. I'm just telling you. I mean, everywhere else in the world. You know, I can go to Russia and live forever, or go to Africa and go forever, and so on. I can do all that stuff. I can go into business. I can go into politics. I can do anything I want to do. I can be a professor. I can do what I want to do. Here's what I want to do, right here. Just be right here. Isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? I choose it. Why? Because Jesus said, this is where I want you. Okay, I'll stay here. Till you change your mind, I'm not changing my mind. So, you must be praying. But what you're praying for is your own demise. In other words, you want your spirit purified because that's why I'm here. I'm not here to do anything else. I'm not here just to build you up with positive teaching. That'll only keep you in number one and give you the illusion that you're heading for three when you're not. No, what you need is a rod more than you need to hear more about the love of God. If you really know the love of God, I did that for 25, 30 years. If you really know the love of God, you won't be afraid because he's a loving God. You won't be afraid of number two. That's the proof of number one is that you can go through number two because the same God that's number one is the same God that's number two. Now, the amazement is that though you may not think you'll make it or go through number two, you actually will. People will do it. What's amazing is that when you take the rod out, people will accept it. Then you know that's God. You'll know it wasn't you, as Barbara said. This is not me because I by choice would stay in number one. I'd stay in Hawaii. I wouldn't go all over the kingdom come. I'd just stay where it's nice. But you know what? Something big is about to happen. I'm prophesying now. Something big is about to happen, and Dallas-Fort Worth is in the center of it. I'm just letting you know that. And that's why I'm right here, exactly where we belong. This is the political, social, economic, and spiritual center of the world, right here. Now, knowing that, God's going to use this area in a bigger way than if some other area. Key, what we're doing here. No other place on earth. You can't go anywhere else. I'm just telling you what God told me. So it's exciting to be alive right now. I don't want to be in Florida. I don't want to be in California. I don't want to be in Arkansas. I don't want to be in Arkansas. It's prettier in Arkansas, but I want to be there.
Don't throw it out.
Don't throw it out. Well, that's just East Texas. No, I'm not saying anything about Texas. I'm not doing it like that. I'm just simply saying this is a crossroads for the world. Something's happening here. The people that are here, not Dallas. The people that are right here. There's something great going on. Something powerful in the kingdom. So this is why I want to be here. You can say, well, you're not getting anywhere. I know, but I am. Because I'm seeking God. I'm going through the furnace. Good, take everybody through until they get through. If we could just get one person that said, you know, I got it, Pastor. I'm going through all hell, but I'm praising God. There's that one girl in here. What's her name? Debbie, is that her name?
Debbie
something or other. Now, she's going through all hell, but she's getting free. Yeah. Debbie, you won. You're getting it. Isn't it exciting? I mean, the more hell it goes, it doesn't bother you anymore. Because you realize now it's for your benefit.
And I agree with you, Jim. I feel like things are happening.
It's powerful. One life shows the devil is lost. If we just get one through a number two until they become a number three, we want him. You see, because ultimately it's love that counts. God is love. It's not faith. Faith is not enduring. Faith and hope will fall away. Only love endures. So what good is it to have somebody who has faith if they don't have love? James says, show me your faith. I'll show you my works. But these are the works that are wrought in God, not my works. They're the works wrought in God, not mine. Now, those enduring works are what Jesus Christ has set up. That's what he's doing. So, isn't it worth it not to rend the whole world right now? Let's just get one or two right here. I mean, you can just go anywhere. I can go anywhere in the world. This message works anywhere in the world. If I went to Africa, I'd have 25,000 people immediately. If I go to India and stay there, I'd have 10, 15,000 people. I don't care about people. I don't care about numbers. You're still just going to get one or two at a time. So what's the difference if the guy has 20,000 members at Prestonwood Baptist Church and I only have 20? He still can't reach any more than I can reach. He won't be able to take anybody through two except one by one by one by one by one. So if you start to make it, you start to rejoice in the midst of your sorrows because the Father that loves the Son chastens him. Every Sunday, otherwise you're a bastard. If you go the faith way, you're a bastard. That's bastard theology. I'm saying as strong as I can. I'm not attacking them. They're Christians. I'm just saying it's immature. It won't get you to three. My problem is not that I'm mad at them. It's just I'm trying to help them. They're not going to get it the way they're going because they won't go through two. They want to go around two instead of going through two. You remember when they went to the promised land? You remember they were in Egypt? And it's only 8 days walk. You can walk from 8 days from the land of Goshen into Canaan. But God took them around a long, long 40 years to go 8 stupid days. And they knew it. It's called the King's Highway. The King's Highway goes direct. All they do is get on the King's Superhighway. And God led them into the wilderness to trap them. God's the one that took them to two. He took them into the wilderness. Two is the wilderness. This church is still in the wilderness. We haven't crossed over the Jordan, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not in talk, but in deed. Where you're led by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, rejoicing in the Spirit. You can't take the land unless you're a lover. Only lovers endure. I will endure forever because I'm a lover. I love God, I love my neighbor, I love my wife, I love everybody. I love my enemies, I love everybody. Because you're a lover, you can't fail. Love always wins. It always prevails. Love endures forever. Love hopes all things, endures all things, believes all things. It can never lose. Everything else will pass away. Faith will pass away. Hope will pass away. Love never pass away. So you got to get to love. But the only way you can become a lover is to die, too. Then you resurrect into love. Because it's just God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ dying for you. As I told you many times, he's not going to say when he comes back, well believed, one. Nor is he going to say, you know, well disciplined, two. What he's going to say is well done, three. It's three that he's after. You all understand? That's why I read this scripture.
Yes.
That's why I read this scripture. That you may be kept. Not get to, but kept. So he intends for this to happen in your life already. Spirit, soul, body. Now that's not easy. Pastors are having trouble because they're skipping two. We're not going to skip two here. We're going straight through it. So now you know what I'm doing. I'm not just after justified saints. Martin Luther stopped right there. Luther was wrong. So the Reformation never finished. He didn't produce loving Christians. That's why he built you don't going to understand this, but I'm going to say it anyway. He built a Volkskirche rather than a Freiwilligkeitskirche. Why? Because a Freiwilligkeitskirche is a free will voluntary church, number three. A Volkskirche will not even take you through number two. What you're looking for is Volkskirche is a number one, just a believing church full of believers. But they're what he called not hand and mouth. They're just mouth Christians. But there's no hand. In other words, they're not doing what they're talking. They're not walking what they're talking. We've got to have a talk and a walk that goes along with it in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Not in demonstration of how great some pastor is. God doesn't even want good pastors. He doesn't want good pastors. He wants to have just anybody that'll fill the office. You can be anybody. You can do the work of the ministry. Anybody can. He just wants anybody. Just go and talk to your neighbor. You don't have to have an office called evangelist. Just evangelize. You don't have to have an office called prophet. Just prophesy. You don't have to have anything. Don't be a big deal. Don't run after, you know, robes and stuff. This church has no externals. I used to wear a robe when I was a Lutheran pastor. I had a robe on so you could tell that I was the holy one. Otherwise you wouldn't know, I wouldn't get paid. But that's silly, because that's just external. We're going through, we burn all that stuff up. That's for juveniles, that's for weaklings and wicked people. No, what we need in the church is for people to grow up and mature and not wait forever. Wouldn't it be good to get ready? The bride has made herself ready, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. How many spots are in the church today? How many wrinkles are in the church? What's it take to get a spot out of a dress? A lot of rubbing and a lot of scrubbing and a lot of, you know, tough suds and acids and bleaches and whatever to get those spots out so that you're pure white. How many know it's hard to get something that's got, you know, wine spilled on it or ketchup or whatever? You got to get all that out so there's no spot when you show up at the bridegroom someday. He's going to look at you and say, wow, it's perfect. We don't look perfect right now because we didn't go through the fire. You know, when an iron irons out all those wrinkles, it's hot and there's a lot of pressure. Not just the heat. You also have to have all the pressure that's put on it. Ow! Oh, ow! That's good. That's getting your wrinkles out. You know, a wrinkle is where there's a shadow. But if you open the wrinkle, everything's seen in the light. So if it's a dress that has no wrinkles in it, everything is all the light is reflected off of it. And there's no shadow. But a wrinkle is a shadow. Do you understand? If I were a painter, and I am, and I were to paint a wrinkle, I'd put a shadow. But God wants us to be transparent so that there's nothing but Jesus. None of you. You're the wrinkle. You're the spot. So all God wants to do is say, hey, let's go through the wrinkle-free, spot-free cleaner. Here, he just wants to take you through. And you know, if you've ever been through those cleaners, they have, you know, all that stuff. All that stuff that's coming out, pewy, pewy, pewy. It's getting all the dirt off. It's getting all the garbage out. That's what you need. Pastor, could we go through one of those today? Yahoo! You know, and people need to get excited about it. That's the most fun place to go through. When you have the Spirit, what do you care? Because when you're all done, only the dirt was removed and the car's still there. Right? Your car's still there. The good part of your car is kept. Only the bad stuff got removed. So all that beating doesn't even hurt the car. You see those things, and all that stuff pouring on you and so on. Doesn't hurt a thing on the car. Car comes out fine. God wants you to go through His cleaning machine. He wants you to go through His fire. He wants you to go through His troubles and problems. Laugh the whole way through. Yahoo! I just sit in my car when I'm going through those. Yahoo! You know, it's fun. It's glorious to go through, because I know when I come out, I'm going to be cleaner. Who for the joy that's set before me, I endure. Because there's joy on the other side. I know I'm going to have a clean car. Don't go out and look at my car right now, because it's dirty. Because I went to Dallas the other day, and there was one of these fountains or something, and it was spraying dirty all over the car, and I haven't had time to go and clean it up, because I don't like that. But, I mean, they just put dirty all over me all day long. I was sitting in that parking lot, but there was this fountain that shoots up 30 feet in the air, so I'm going to get a hotel over there. And it just all day long, and I came out and said, oh my God, what happened to my car? It was all clean when I came in. Now it's all dirty. I got to go through another beat-up machine to get that off. Right? I could wash it myself, but that would be hard work. That's why Jesus do it with His beat-up machine. Jesus, take me to it. Jim, come with me. Am I going to have to do anything? If you're going to have to do anything, can you do anything? Well, I could try. Well, that's your problem. You're very trying. All right. Now, let's just go through this beat-up machine. And when I'm all done, I'm purified. I look just like Jesus. Because I spent time with Jesus, so I look like Jesus. All I do is I walk through. I don't look at the storm. I look at the Jesus. I don't look at the storm. I look at the Jesus. I don't look at the wave. I look at Jesus. Remember, Jesus reached out His hand to Peter. He said, Peter, what are you doing? I'm looking at the wave. Don't look at the wave. Look at me. And He reached out His hand, and He saved him. That's all you got to do when you go through a storm. Just say, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus is with me. Remember? Jesus was right out there, and He said, come to me, Peter. And Peter took a couple steps, plump, down in the water. But immediately, Jesus just went over and picked him up. Jesus, wherever you fall down, Jesus will be right there to pick you up. Wherever you fall down, Jesus will be right there to pick you up. Even if you didn't call out to Him, don't you think He'd lift you up? The only reason you call out to Him is because you know He will lift you up. You're not going to call out to the guy on the land. You're going to call out to the guy that's right there. The only one that's going to be there in any problem that you're in is Jesus. He is there. Israel is going to go through the same furnace, same affliction. How can you talk to Israel if you haven't been through one of those? Oh, Israel, you always go through all the troubles, but thank God we always go to Hawaii. No, Israel not going to listen to you if you've been to Hawaii all the time. You think the faith teacher is going to reach Israel? Never. They've never been through hell. Israel's been through hell every moment of their life. You know why? Because they're sons. And they're being chastened by the Lord because they're beloved of God. In all their pollution and all their garbage and all their trash, all God's trying to give them is one thing. We sinned. That's all He wants them to say. We messed up. That's all. He doesn't want them to clean up. He doesn't want them to fix up. He doesn't want them to change. He just wants to admit, I'm dirty. Oh, good. Come on through my clean machine. And you just send them through. The Muslims are now being prepared. The Muslims are the cleaning machine. And George Bush trying to stop them. You think George Bush is going to win? No way. I'll tell you, those Muslim cleaning machines work. He's setting up a Muslim cleaning machine for Israel to go through the furnace of affliction. Because God is not going to save her apart from the furnace. He only salvages out of the furnace. He takes out of the furnace. Just shut off her deal. I guess we're over. Well, I hate to end on that note.
I'll go get another tape.
No, let's end on that note. It's okay. Did you all understand what I did today?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. We're not talking to somebody else. Nick.
One thing. You're a little harsh on the faith churches.
Yeah.
For Peter, for instance, if he hadn't seen Jesus walking on the water, he probably would not have left the boat.
Right.
These faith churches, they get to the world because they see the miracles, they see the love that's there, and they come into it for salvation.
Yes.
And it's like going to school, you know. You just can't learn everything in kindergarten.
Right.
The problem we have is that the churches don't want to change their message. Mm. It seems like once you get them in, you got to do something with them.
Right.
And they don't go that route.
Right.
And I've worked with enough pastors over these 30-some-odd years that what I find out is the churches do not want to lose the luxuries that new believers bring to them.
Right.
So they stay where they are. But, like Judy and I, we always felt led of the Lord to go to the other kind of church, the one that puts you through number two. We tried to get Judy's sister once to get through this, you know, just trying to. And you insulted her. I mean,
I just...
she hasn't talked to us for years. And the fact that she wasn't ready, you know. It just, her church did not...
What is she
saying? Telling her that the Lord's going to take
She's
her.
Right. She's right.
But it is to the world.
But I think the faith church has a purpose.
Sure.
Kindergarten.
Number one.
Yeah. But then there's got to be somebody else that picks up.
Right. And that's the problem. You can go there for years, and then pretty soon you see all kinds of things. You try to dismiss them. But after a while, because they just can't grow any further. They'll never get through sanctification. That's why he said, I want to sanctify you.
Jesus did with the disciples.
Exactly.
You know, through his miracles, they came to him.
Right.
And then while they were with him, you know, they began. Some of them wanted to turn away. Some of them thought,
sure.
Hey, this
Absolutely. A little heat turned on, and people turned on. Look, here's the deal. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for you, number one?
Yeah,
that's easy. Do you believe that you could go through the furnace and not complain and you'd praise God all the day? No. See, there's where the problem lies. Is I believe Jesus could die on the cross for me, but I don't think I could go through and be happy. I believe he could do it. I just don't believe I could do it. It's the same Jesus taking you through. So how can you not believe that the God that was so good to you and did all of that for you so that you didn't have to do a thing would make you do some work through number two? You're just thinking, you're not even thinking faith. That's why they don't want to go through that. You're not even thinking faith. There's nothing to it. It's still faith. I go through number two because I can't fail. My flesh will fail, but I don't want my flesh. When you have cancer, you don't want to keep it. Why would I want to keep cancer? Go through the machine, get all that taken care of, boom, I don't have any more. You see, in cancer, there's a bitter root. There's a bitter root down there, unforgiveness. But if I go to a cancer person, some of you have had cancer. If I go to a cancer person and say to them, you're bitter, they will say to me, I already forgave my mother and father. And I say to them, you didn't. And they say to me, I did. I did it 100 times. I know I've forgiven them. And I say to them, you're lying. You don't know. You're blind as you can be. This is bitterness inside me. No, it's not. I've forgiven them. No, you haven't. Now I'm fighting them. See? This is the... I'm beating against them. We're in opposition. Why? Because they are destroying themselves and I'm going to save them. In other words, I'm trying to help them. Now, if all they would say is, you're right. My spirit forgave them. One. My mind forgave them. I can rationalize it right now. Two, my emotions have never forgiven them. I am emotionally still angry. I'm mad. I remember when my mother was dying of cancer. I prayed real hard and nothing happened. And I've been mad ever since. Yeah, there's the problem right there. Is you are not emotionally free. You are. That's no wonder you can't worship. No wonder you can't enter into joy. No wonder you're depressed all the time. No wonder you're sad. No wonder you can't rejoice when you're going through hell. Because you remember God's no good. Now that's not your heart. That's not your mind. That's your emotions talking. Are you going to say to your emotions, you're nothing? No, your emotions are something. How can you worship God and be a number three if you don't have any emotions? I'll tell you, if you're going to be a number three, you've got to have emotions. They're important too, not just mind.
And I think too, if you know number two, you don't do people a service by letting them stay in number one, because they are wrong and their precepts are wrong, their whole theology is wrong, their foundation is wrong.
Yeah. You see, it wouldn't be wrong if they knew there was a future, a three to get to through a two. In other words, there's nothing wrong with you know, saying Egypt is not where we belong. We belong, you know, Passover. We belong to go over the Red Sea, go through the wilderness to get to the Promised Land. But they lose sight of that. And they're just focused on preserving themselves right now in the wilderness. My gosh, that's not the deal. Or stay as close as you can to Egypt. Kind of like get over the Red Sea and camp right there. You know, I don't want to go any further because there's snakes out there and lizards and, you know, Texas. You know, no, go through it. Go through it. It's just temporary. 40 years or so, you'll be through. All you have to do is die off. What died off for 40 years? What died off? All the flesh generation. What survived? Joshua and Caleb. The other 10 died. That whole generation died. Their children all went in. All God wants to do is separate the flesh from the spirit. That's all that number two is. Best thing ever happened to you. Jesus' saving was only so they could do that. He saved your spirit so He could save your soul, so He could save your body and change you so you could be happy all the time. And have heaven on earth here and be a blessing to others. Because you know what? You won't be happy until you start blessing others. Worshiping God, loving the brothers and sisters, loving your wife, your husband, your children, so on, and loving these lost world, even the wicked, nasty, total bad people. Witness to them. You got something to say. What do you think you're here for? Just for yourself? Go home. If you're here just for yourself, go home. You've already got everything. No. You're here for others. You're not here for yourself.
Jim, yes. You started out with saying about not forgiving in the emotions, and then you went on to that, but where were you going with that? Are you saying we're going to forgive in our emotions through number two?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, because all of a sudden my anger dies. You see, I don't need to get love. I already have it in me. It's just not coming out of me because I got too much anger. I could worship God easily. It's in my spirit, but it won't come out because my soul is holding it back because I'm full of anger, bitterness, jealousy, etc. But perfect love casts out all fear. So when you go through two, all of a sudden you're not afraid anymore because you've been through two and you survive. The amazing thing is I can stay in my marriage and survive. The amazing thing, I can stay in hell and still survive. The amazing thing, I can go through cancer and still survive. The amazing thing is the doctors are wrong. But you don't know that because you don't know God. Because all you're interested in is, I'm not happy right now. Please preserve me. Well, it's the wrong focus. You have to have the joy that, you know, I can't die because I got a job to do. Number three. How can I die if I'm in a number two going through the thing and I'm going to die? I don't think so. He's not killing your body. He's trying to kill the flesh in your soul. Cancer, it's nothing. Cancer will go just like that. Just like that. It'll go. When I break the spiritual root, I've broken the physical. The physical will just be sloughed off. Cancer just stops just like that. Now, you know, you don't know what I'm saying, but I'm telling you the truth. So you don't need medicine. You don't need all that stuff and all that help and so on. You need Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God. He'll give you everything else. We just don't believe that. I've never taken a medicine in my life. I don't take medicine. I don't take anything. I don't do anything. God, that's all you need. I'd die before I do it. You see? So you say, oh, it's going to happen to you because you're 65. I'll bet it's all downhill from now. I don't care. I don't care if I drop dead. I'm done. I'm finished. You people finished me off. I don't care. I don't need that. You're all going to help me. I can tell you what helped me. No, here, just take this little pill here. No, I don't want to. What could help you? I don't want to be helped. You know what? I don't have the God you have. Your God is not useful. Mine's useful. Whenever he wants me home, I'm going home. As long as he wants me here, I'm staying here. So I'll live until I get done with my job. It's three that guides me, not two. I disregard two. Totally, I disregard two. Two is nothing to me. That's just how you get to three. But since I have a duty to I've got to get you perfected. I'm not going to die until you're perfected. You understand? So I got to stay here and keep working with some of you hard people. That's not a problem, because that keeps me alive.
I was just wondering the other day when I was reading in I guess it's 1 John about the children and the young men and the fathers. And I thought, well, how do you become a father? And it was a real thing to me. I thought, how do you become a father? And yet, I didn't know there was a goal on there.
Totally, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't know it. But something I wanted to ask you is when we were in that faith movement, I used to have migraine headaches from the time I was a child until then. Yeah. And it's like I got so angry with Satan.
Right.
Because he stole my time from me. I didn't go to the twins graduate high school graduation because I was homesick and that way.
Right.
And I took the word of God and I began, I'm not saying what I did.
Yeah.
I'm saying I'm wondering how it worked. But I took the word of God and I fought Satan.
Yep.
In the midst of this sick migraine headache.
Paul.
And I said, you cannot steal from me anymore.
Amen.
So was that me working?
No. It wasn't. That's very good, what you just said. It's actually, you're working at that, didn't set you free. But if you hadn't worked at it, you wouldn't have gotten the gift. Because you know what happened? I can describe without even knowing. I know what happened. You worked at it and said, God, I'm having faith. I'm trying to praise God. I'll praise you. And you weren't coming. And you finally said something like this. God, it's nothing's working. Well, you quit, and immediately he gave you the gift, and it was over.
Okay.
That is actually what happened. I know it, because there's what you learn in number two is you can't do it. You don't learn how great you are. You just learn that I can't do it, because I'm the one getting scrubbed.
It took hours.
You're not the car that gets through. You're the dirt that gets wiped off. And when you're done, he that loses his life finds it. But he that tried to keep his life loses it. So that car is the new man in Christ, not the old man. That's all. So what happened is, you did work at it, but it didn't work. And then you finally gave up. And the minute you gave up, faith flooded in that even though you're done, God's not done. He's going to begin when your flesh ends. As soon as your flesh is over, that's all it too is. Get all the flesh off, boom, the car comes off beautiful. That's what happened. That's why the migraines went away. Because the migraines were there deliberately as a good thing to remind you something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong, something's wrong. The dirt on the windshield reminding you, get this car clean, get this car clean. The problem is the best thing that ever happened to you because it's telling you something's wrong. So that means go through two, go through two, go through two, go through two. Until you're purified. Until everything in you is praise. Everything in you is happiness. Everything in you is joy. Everything in you is love. Everything in you is spirit. That's all. We think that's heaven. That's earth. That should be happening right now. We should be walking in the Spirit. All those words are not for nothing. They're not kind of like a goal. They're actually teaching us, you mean I'm going to be mature in this world? Will I really be happy in this world? Can I live in this world and be happy? If you can't, then God lied. You see, God didn't come into another world. He came into this world. And here is where he loved and lived and rejoiced and, you know, set you free. He didn't set you free in heaven. He didn't take you back into the Garden of Eden to get you set free. He did it in this world, where all the people were nasty and hurtful and hateful. That's the world he did it in. I tell you, we got a good God. Buddha can't do that. The Hindus can't do that. The Muslims can't do that. They got to have a better world. They have to work with bad material and pretend like it's okay, but it's not working. We got the only God that will take us through anything and say, I can bring you out of anything. I can take you through anything, I can get you through, and I can get you perfected. That's the God I want. That's a good God. Barbara.
So what you're saying that then with, like she was using the word, you can't manipulate God?
No.
Even using his word? No. But then again, on the other side, it is an anchor for your soul. It is an anchor of, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
You confess it.
But see,
this is what I believe.
But see, there's total difference. You both are the word, but the one word is the law. I got to do something. The other word is a promise. I will do something. God says the second one. You says the first one. So your sizing doesn't work, but his sizing always works. So what she did was she did as much as she could do until she finally got tired and ran out of juice. And then God came through and gave it to her as a free gift. Why? Because all God is a giver. All he's trying to point out is you can't earn it from me because I want to give it to you. I don't want you to be good. I never wanted you to be good. I just wanted you to admit you weren't so I could give it to you. As soon as you say, God, I'm no good, then I would give you the free gift. But you just never said it, so I couldn't give it to you. All he wanted you to say is, I'm no good. That's all he ever wanted you to say is, I can't. I won't. I didn't. I'm bad. That's all he ever wanted you to say. Repent. The kingdom of God's at hand. He's going to give it to you.
It's a misrepresentation of faith, because faith isn't in what happens. Faith is in the one who promises.
That's it.
And hope is in what happens. In the promises.
Exactly. Powerful. Faith is not a work. It's a gift. Gave faith a gift. It's a gift. It's not a word. Yeah?
I had a hard time understanding faith on Sunday when you were teaching Sunday night. It's like my mind was going crazy. And I couldn't even repeat what you were saying, but I understand that how I've been ingrained so much in the faith teaching that I couldn't understand it.
Right.
I couldn't understand what you were saying. And I realized it when you explained it today.
It's good. Powerful. What she's saying is miraculous. That it is very hard to get this. If you don't get it, don't be surprised. And don't think, well, Pastor Jim didn't do a good job. No, it's a miracle if you get this.
Yeah.
Then how good a job I do. I'm just talking. But I'm just telling you, if you ever get it, I didn't give it to you. It's a miracle. If you get a hold of it, it's a miracle. But get a hold of it. I keep talking about it, around it, and so on and so forth. I'm just testifying to my own situation. I'm just trying to tell you, because you got to get it yourself. But if you ever get it, you'll be free. Because it's all the love of God. I don't even have to teach anything else but the love of God. But I have to. Because the love of God doesn't mean anything if I just say love of God, love of God, love of God. Because it doesn't mean anything to anybody. Because they're so used to bad teaching that they'll translate love of God into judge. Every time I say love of God, they'll hear judge.
Are there just words?
Okay. I've heard a teaching on not being passive or in passivity.
Sure.
So... is that a work? So when you're, I would say in a battle.
Yeah.
Things are going on. I mean,
right.
Like this teaching is, you know, you pick up the word of God and you use the sword of the Spirit.
Right.
So is that a work?
No. Look, if I can turn any word of God into a work. So there's no answer really to your question. But I have all these scriptures inside of me. They're buried. I don't know where they are. But all of a sudden I get into a situation and they just start coming out. I didn't work that. They just pop into my head. I can tell. I didn't think that out or figure it or anything. I was like this. Yeah, I don't know what to do, God. This seems to be hurting right now, is it? No, it's not. It's not? You know, but that was the scripture came into my aid. No weapon fashioned against you prevail. Where'd that come from? It isn't that I got that in my refrigerator and I memorized it. It jumps up. Because I'm panicking to try to find the answer, and I'm trying to work one, and I don't have any work. I mean, I can't get it worked. So all of a sudden, I just give up and go, God, I'm just going to give up. I'm losing it. I got a headache now. You know, whatever. I'm just quit. I quit. I give up. And he goes, then the scripture just comes in. I didn't work that. I already gave up, and the scripture came in. Free gift. And then when I hear that, I go, I know that wasn't me. That was God. And I just relax, and I just fall back on the bed, so to speak. And I go, hallelujah. Just like when I saw my son this morning. I started laughing. I didn't make that up. Why would I laugh? But I saw him. I wondered. I saw the truck far away. And I saw it. I wonder if that's my son. He wouldn't be coming this direction because he's heading home. He'd be going out to work. But I just started laughing because I thought, I love my son. He's great. That's the way God is. When he sees us, he just loves us. He just sees it. He doesn't know whether we're doing bad or good. But he just loves us. That's the way I look at it. Just like I looked at my son, that's the way God looks at me.
You know, Jim, I just want to say, you just said that when you speak about the love of God, you hear judgment. Well, from the beginning of this trial, I just said Sunday to a group of people was on Sunday. I said, either Jim's bringing in the love of God more, or it's because my soul is being purified to the point where I hear it now. where before I didn't hear it, I only saw it as judgment.
Right.
But I'm hearing the love of God now. And it's setting
me. Actually, it's everywhere. So, I mean, even the worst minister has it. Even the worst minister in town is actually saying good stuff. I mean, you can find it in the faith thing. You can find it everywhere. Even they know better. It's not going to be clear, that's all. But it's everywhere. So when you're ready, you'll hear it. Because you're desperate. A desperate person is going to reach God if you're on a desert island and there was no radio or books or anything. You'd still hear God. Because God loves you. He's going to be there. You have been in situations sometimes when you knew there was no help anywhere. You just cried out. Like that. That was it. God heard that. You know, even if it wasn't audible, he can hear the sighs too deep for words. He knows, oh God, help me. You know, and he knows it whether you articulate it or not. He hears that prayer. And he answers it immediately. I can just tell you, everybody here has experienced that. Everybody here has experienced it. Don't make a theology because you don't even know how it worked. But that it worked is true. When you get to the end of your rope, that's only two will bring you to that. When you get to the end of your rope, that's when God comes through. There he is, right there, the end of it. Okay, Jim, it's all over. What? You see, a lot of people, why they stay in two, they never get out of two, you know why they do? Because they're afraid to be happy. They don't even want to be happy. They're scared, if I ever get happy, I'll have to go for two again. No. Once you go through the car wash, you don't have to go through again. You just go through once. Or, I can put it, go through seven times. But the point is, you don't keep going through. Once you learn your lesson, how to rejoice in all things, it's over. You don't stay in the cancer any longer. You don't stay in the problem anymore. It's over. Now you get on to your real job, which is number three. Your real job is not two. That's just preparation for your real job. The foundation is one. The preparation is two. And the fruit of it, the finish of it, that's in three. You were made to be a lover. You were made to be a worshiper. You were made to be what God wants you to be. Happy all the time. So, who's ready? I want to go through all of whatever it is. You know, I don't care what it takes. Just say this because it'll actually happen. So be careful when you say it. But just say this. God, I don't care what it takes. Well, he heard you. He heard you. So, and God, when I cry out, don't listen to me. He heard you. You know, and God's going to be faithful because that's what he wants to hear. But he didn't make you do that. Then when all hell breaks loose, you go, oh, I don't mean it. I didn't mean it. Can I back up? He'll let you back up. You can get out anytime you want. But he was answering your prayer.
So the scripture is hope. And God is faith.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Hope. Hope is great. Because hope takes you through. When you're going through that fire, you need hope. Like, am I ever going to get done with this? Am I ever going to get endured? Is it going to be over? Yeah.
I was having trials and tribulations when I was selling real estate.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove in my garage and I slammed the door and I said, God, you know I need a new car. My telephone was ringing.
Right.
And I opened the door, answered the telephone, and it was my sister saying she had just sold some property, made a little on it, and wanted to share it with me. Go get you a new car and send the bill to me and do it for Tuesday.
Amen. That's a quick answer, isn't it? I only know that car was on its way before she slammed the door. Because he heard her deep in her being and said, this is not a greed, this is a need. This is not a greed, this is a need. She needs a car. And she shouldn't have a junky car. She's a nice car. And so her sister heard God. Her sister heard God, but didn't even know it. Maybe knew it, maybe didn't know it. But she just knew, I got to do this. Now, God loves us. And if you can't look at your life and see that everything in your life has been that way, you just don't know it. Every minute of every day, there's not one negative thing that's ever happened to us. All the things that happen to us are actually all things work together for the good. Everything that's ever happened to you. You see, you'd like to say, well, this was a good, and this was a good, but this was a bad, this was bad. Wrong. You have regrets now. Wrong. Regret nothing. Jesus uses everything. Even the dung. I told you. Dung is the best thing you put on your garden. When things decay and rot, those are good things. Even the bad things are good things, right? Don't all things work together for the good?
Yes.
All right. One more, and then we'll quit.
You don't believe that I ever had a chunky car.
You didn't?
My car was a sports car.
Yours was a sports car?
Amen. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
You learned a lot?
It was
good.
Awesome.
It's hard. It's hard to get this. It's going to take a miracle. I can't give it to you. I can't give it to you. But the Holy Spirit wants you to have it, and your spirit wants to have it. And the only thing you have to wrestle with is, I wonder why I don't want to go through the furnace. I wonder who's asking that question. That's your flesh. Your flesh is going to do everything to preserve itself. That's what flesh does. Naturally, it's not going to say, oh, I'd like to die today. It's not going to ever say that. Your flesh is going to fight everything it can not to be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's what flesh does. It's just doing its job. So don't be surprised when you go, I don't know why there's something in me that doesn't want to go through hell and suffering. You know, it's your flesh. Your flesh is always going to come up with a negative report, a bad report, a scare, you know, whatever. It's never going to rejoice. But your spirit is rejoicing all the time. Yield to your spirit. Anyone else? Judy.
I've got a quick thought. when I was a child, I was incested, okay? And I grew up doing all these wrong things, one bad thing after another. And I ended up with bitterness and rage.
Amen.
And I sought God. And I see the power of God in my life because I'm not full of bitterness and I'm not full of rage. God has replaced that with love in my heart. I love people and only want to love them.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's just awesome.
See, that's a miracle. There's no human explanation.
No.
But that's a wonderful story. That's the truth. That's Christianity. It's powerful. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The best. The best is saved to the last. Maturity. Do you want to be mature? Flesh? No. Spirit? Yes. See? So what do you want to listen to? Your flesh or your spirit? So just take your flesh right through the car wash. Come on. You know, and your flesh is never going to say hallelujah. Your spirit will. Because as the flesh falls off, the spirit is released. Flesh falls off, 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 dead. All that's left is your spirit. Nothing but happiness and joy and peace. You can go through any situation without fear. Was Jesus ever afraid? How many days was he afraid? How many hours was he worried? When did he run? You remember one time they tried to kill him? They put him in a circle and they had stones to kill him? You know what the Bible says? And because of three, his job wasn't done. He endured and he knew, your stones won't work. He passed through the midst of them and they didn't stone him. Why? Because it said his hour had not yet come. So the issue is not how bad the storm is, it's whether you got a future or not. I'm not going to die until I'm done. I don't know when that is and I don't really care. But I don't think I'm done yet. I think some of you need more work. Okay? Because of that, that keeps me alive. Otherwise, I have to rely totally on Medicare. But thank God, I'm going to live a lot longer. Be productive. Why? Because you need it. I'm only here for your benefit. I'm not here for my own. I don't need anything anymore. I don't want anything. I had dreams when I was younger. I don't have them anymore. I'm done with them. I already have everything I want. I don't want anything more. Totally happy, totally content. I don't want to accomplish anything, write any books. I don't want to be famous. I don't want anything. I already got everything. All I'm doing now is figuring out how to keep Peggy alive after I die and the kids blessed and so on and so forth. I don't have anything else to do, so I'm just wasting my time. Now, that's a great place to be because you're free. No more duties, responsibilities. Let's close in prayer. Let's close in prayer. Nick. Nick was standing up.
Lord, we just give you thanks for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power therein. We ask you that each and every one here, Lord, take a part of that with them, Lord. And if it's healing, give them healing, Lord. If it's financial, whatever it is, emotional, let everyone have something here, Lord, because your word is power and does all these things. We thank you, Lord. We ask you now just to be with us and just live in our hearts. And Lord, I ask a blessing on each and every one here, and we just give you praise in Jesus' name.
Amen. Love y'all. See you in a few weeks.